Welcome to the Andrew Collins Show. I'm your host, Andrew Collins. Thank you so much for listening to the seventh best podcast in South America. Please like and subscribe. Fantastic show for you this week. Our first guest is a trained urologist, Dr. Rena Malik. Such a brilliant woman, has already amassed well over a million followers on her own YouTube channel. We discuss a bunch of things, but mostly we discuss erectile dysfunction. We discuss orgasming on antidepressants. We talk about the female Viagra and if it exists. It sounds like I'm talking about Bigfoot. Is it real? And then lastly, we talk about women losing sensitivity due to using sex toys and if we should use them in the bedroom. Then my next guest, you've heard her here, Brenna LaRocque, my girlfriend. We actually talk about whether or not she should keep her IUD. I mean, that's up to her. It's not really. Okay. And then we talk about why we constantly fight in the car. It's bad. We have to figure it out. And then lastly, we talk about our past. And we ask deeply personal questions from Oprah Winfrey's website, where we have 110 questions to ask each other to learn whether or not we love each other more or hate each other. All right, enjoy the show. All right, I have an amazing guest, an actual doctor, someone that's actually way smarter than I am, Dr. Rena Malik. Thank you so much for joining me on the Andrew Collins Show. I really appreciate you taking the time.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
She's amazing. You have an amazing YouTube channel and Instagram, and you make hearing medical terms not feel so dire at times. I think a lot of people avoid, I know myself, I would ignore the doctor, even though my father is a physician and he was right next door. I would ignore things because we're afraid. Like, it comes from fear because we hear big terms that we don't understand, or we think one little problem might lead to way bigger problems, so we'd rather avoid it. But you make it so you could digest it, and I think that's really needed, and I think it's a great thing that you're doing.
Thank you so much. And you know what? We do the same thing. Even though we're physicians, we avoid things and we avoid going to the doctor because we actually know how bad it could be. And we always catastrophize that it could be horrible. So you're not alone. Everyone has an experience when they go to the doctor that's unnerving sometimes. We do our best to make you guys calm and relax, but it's hard, right? It's hard going to the doctor, especially talking about intimate things, which is a lot of what I do. And so I commend you for even having this podcast and having me on to talk about it, because it's not easy.
Well, yeah. I mean, as a urologist, I mean, you know, this is a comedy podcast. The idea that I know choosing a female or a male doctor when you're having, issues with an erection. Like, I don't know. Sometimes you're like, I'd rather be a guy, because then, you know, we could be like, oh, you get, you know, like, I'm sure you run into that in your field of like people being nervous about being so open with a physician.
Yeah, for sure. And I think some people actually prefer seeing a woman because they're like, I don't want to be demasculinated in front of a man. Or some people are like, you know, if you're getting a rectal exam, for example, an older guy, like, women have smaller fingers. So it's, you know, sometimes that's a plus. And so generally speaking, like, I think, you know, a lot of people do actually like seeing a female doctor and prefer it because we just have a different approach in general. I mean, there's actually been studies on this that show that women tend to spend more time with their patients and tend to have a different approach. And some patients really appreciate that.
There have been times where I've asked for two fingers, so I get it. No, I think so much about being a physician that maybe that you don't even realize is how much you're going to have to be a therapist for people. And it's about, it's tough because a lot of it is like, you want to be able to get in and out to make as much money as possible, but it's like, you also want to give them good care and make them feel actually cared about, where it's, they're not just a statistic, you know? Yeah, I'm sure that's absolutely tough to deal with. Yeah. So I had you on. I did an episode the other day about how much, I always forget the name, not Viagra, but the generic term that I
Sildenafil, yeah.
yes, yeah, Sildenafil. Yeah, you think you should know the name of the thing that you're taking a ton. And I talked about how much happier it's made me in my relationship, and I think my partner more happy. Although we could talk about how to discuss it with your partner where they don't feel like it's their problem. It's your own issue. But yeah, how much it's changed my life and how much I'm like open about, I guess, suffering from ED. I mean, I used to just call it whiskey dick is what we would, the medical term, I think.
Well, whiskey dick's a real thing, you know? So when you drink alcohol, especially to excess, right? It's a depressant. And so not only does it depress you get sleepy, you get tired, right? But it also depresses your sexual function. And so it's actually a real thing. If you drink too much, it's going to be hard to get it up. And that's completely normal. You know, that's the way your body works.
Is there an alcohol you could recommend that will allow
No. Just drink less of it. If you're
it's
gonna
not the
drink
whiskey,
less.
it could be vodka dick too, I guess.
Yep, it can be all sorts of champagne dick, you know, whatever you want.
Now, can you take Viagra or Cialis with alcohol? Is there an issue with that at all or no?
No issue with that. The only thing, so just so you guys know, if you've never heard of it, sildenafil, tadalafil, those are medications that are used for erectile dysfunction. They're not going to fix the erectile dysfunction, but they help you sustain an erection and get an erection. And so they are really very, very safe for the large majority of the population. If you're taking medications like nitroglycerin or something you have to put under your tongue when you get chest pain, that's really the only reason not to take it. Or if you have kidney issues, then you may need to take a lower dose. But generally speaking, it's very, very safe and effective in at least 50 to 60% of patients who take it.
I think my issue, and I think a lot of guys' issue before taking it, they're worried that they're not going to have any control of their erection. Like they'll be, you know, at a funeral and it's like, oh man, I really didn't time this up well. And now I'm sitting here
Yeah,
with
no. So, I mean, Viagra or Sildenafil only lasts in the system for about four hours, whereas Tadalafil does last longer. So it lasts about 36 hours, but it still requires like stimulation, right? It
Yeah.
requires some sort of stimulation. So if you're normally the kind of person who gets an erection when your pants rub your penis, then yeah, sure, you might get one, but like not if that's not stimulating to you.
Yeah, I think a lot of guys are worried about that. I did a couple test runs myself to see if I'd be all right in public later. Yeah, I mean, I think you know, we had people ask, you know, we had women ask, you know, how do you bring it up to your partner in a way that, you know, wouldn't cause them to feel like you said demasculated or like feel like you know, that they weren't, you know, good enough, or you know, how to bring it up in a way where it's like comfortable.
Well, I think first of all, like women are should never feel like it's about them. It's not 99.9% of the time, right? It's other things. Like erectile dysfunction is caused by a whole host of things, and that can include reduced blood flow to the area, problem with nerves to the area, problems with hormones, other medications you're taking. And then, yeah, there can be psychological factors, but it's not necessarily about you. It could be about stress, or it could be about other things that are affecting your erection. So I think that's the first thing. Second thing is, if it happens during the act, right? Like, don't freak out. There's other ways to continue being intimate, right? Don't like stop and just like make it super awkward. Like, you can still like make out. You can still have pleasure in other ways. There's several orifices, right? Like, you don't need to just focus on vaginal penetration. So, like, you can do other things. You have other devices. You have 10 fingers. You've got toys. Like, you can use all sorts of things for your pleasure. And so I think that's really important because it's going to make you feel like, okay, like we can still be intimate despite this. And then bring it up when you're not in the bedroom, right? Like, not like right after sex or like right before, because that's going to kill the mood and certainly lead to self-esteem issues. So bring it up, you know, in the kitchen, or bring it up when you're on a walk or in the car, somewhere that's super casual. And then realize that it's a very touchy topic. So if you bring it up and someone shuts down, then like, okay, let's not talk about it this time, but bring it up again. And it's going to take a few conversations before they open up to you or you open up to them the way you want to, because no one ever taught us how to talk about this stuff, right? We didn't, like, mom and dad didn't sit us down and say, honey, this is how you talk to your partner about sex. Like, no, they barely, I mean, at least for me, they never even talked to me about sex. So, I think it's really like a touchy subject just because society is so taboo, right? We never talk about this stuff.
Yeah, there's something very funny about doing the birds and the bees talk, and you're like, look, and sometimes your father won't get hard, and you know, and then the last thing you want to do is point and laugh at him or say, why? And then you yell at him, and then he's like, I'm trying. You know, you don't see a parent really breaking it down. You're just like, put the condom on the banana, and now you're ready to go, you know?
And now maybe they've had the consent conversation, but that's about it. I don't think anyone really talks about how it functions or how it works or other types of sex. Like that doesn't happen.
I wonder who should give the birds and the, like, maybe because it's coming from a parent, or you know, maybe an older brother, I guess, would be the best person to hear it from, but someone where it's not, it doesn't feel taboo. It's just like, here's some things you're going to run into. Because I always feel
Well,
like,
it should be in school, I think. Like, it really should be
But
something
what
like,
grade are you thinking? Like,
yeah, I mean, I think like by age 10, we know that people are like seeing pornography, right? Because it's so prevalent. So probably around that age, like you should find out that, hey, that's not normally how people have sex, and that's all production and video, and that's not real. And so like when you go, and this is how you really have sex with someone, and how women really orgasm, and how men are pleasured, and you know, kind of having that conversation, but in a totally, I mean, totally like straightforward way. Like we're not trying to do stir any ideas, but I think it would be challenging in schools because parents are like, don't talk to my kid about that, right?
also, the more specific you get, the more they're going to have pushback. You know, it's one thing to be like, man has sex with women, it goes in the hole. Like, that's where they want it to end. The more specific you get with anything, the more people are going to get upset and feel like, how are you talking to my? Well, you know, it's like learning anything. You know, you want to get specific about it so then you feel more comfortable with it. Yeah, the age factor. I think. Yeah, it's tough when, because every kid also matures at different ages, and when they're it's been, you know, the ability to have an erection and not have to worry about it and stress about it, it changes my whole life. It really did change my whole life. And I feel like people, guys, are afraid to, again, not see the, it, like, it looks like a weakness to take something or to admit it. And you know, psychologically, do you find with patients, you know, a few months after you know, diagnosing this problem and them taking care of it, that they are happier and they feel more confident?
I mean, they are like very happy. And you know, I think the other thing people don't know is you can take a daily low dose of tadalafil so that you don't have to worry about like taking an hour before. And so I find that those patients are like, it's great. It's life changing. I don't have to like think about it. I can just have this thing that I take every day and it makes things better. And, or even if the on demand is working, like they're just happier because they have that little extra confidence boost. Like if you have any issues with erections, right? First of all, it's normal to sometimes have issues. Like not everyone gets it up every single time, but then it becomes a really big negative feedback loop, right? Like you don't perform, then you get stressed about not performing. The next time you try to perform, you're stressed about is it going to work? And then that adds to your stress. And then, like, partly maybe you have a medical problem, but maybe it's all in your head. And like, it's hard to figure that out, right? And yeah, you could work on your thoughts and everything. But I find that sometimes having a little boost of medication just fixes that confidence issue. And then you can kind of figure it out.
Yeah, I wonder if, you know, how do you distinguish between a mental, you know, you just have mental issues versus an actual physical disorder? You know, I guess what's the physical disorder? You just have low blood pressure, or there's a lot of different things that can cause.
So I'll start with your first part of the question is the way you can figure it out is if you're still having nighttime erections, like, so I know you've probably seen like those episodes. I think Sex and City had one where she put like a stamps on like her man's dick, and then like he woke up and the stamps were broken, and so she knew he had erections, right? Like you guys have all seen something like that. So that's basically like cheap, what we call you know, cheap testing to see if you're having nocturnal penile tumescence or nighttime erections, and that means that you know you're able to get erections, and so probably it's more of a mind thing, right? But it can be very multifactorial, like I said. So it can be, you can have abnormal hormones. You can have high blood pressure, not low blood pressure, but high blood pressure, high cholesterol, diabetes. medications like antidepressants are very common. So it can be a whole host of different things and multiple things, right? It could not just be just one of those things that can cause issues with erections. But if you're having nighttime erections, that's a good sign that you have good blood flow to the penis and that, you know, you can hopefully get back to normal function.
Yeah, I guess you could just tell your girlfriend, look, if you see a nighttime erection, you have full consent to take advantage of it. I give you full consent. Even if I'm sleeping, if I'm snoring, it's yours. It's yours for the evening. It's fine. I'll do whatever I can. Yeah, I was on antidepressants, and you know, the thing with that is the orgasms are difficult. You know, I don't want to say it's so bad where it will turn people off from ex like maybe trying them if you need them, if you're suffering. I suffer from panic attacks and I have ADHD. I have like a whole slew of mental disorder, but then I got on the Zoloft and then I was suffering from not being able to have orgasms, and then I can't have an orgasm, but then I also am not, I'm losing my erection. So the time stamp of like, you know, it's just tough because you got to, you know, whatever. So it was a tough balance. So what do you say to someone that's like kind of new to antidepressants and then they find themselves not being able to have an orgasm and then you have to stay erect longer because you're not
Yeah. So
functioning?
one is, you know, I think it's important to talk to whoever prescribed your antidepressants because there are some that have less side effects than others. And so you can switch, right? Not everyone who takes them is going to have the side effects. So I think that's really important because your mental health is so important. You're not going to want to have sex if you're depressed or anxious or having a panic attack, right? So let's start with, you know, mental health is probably foundational to good sexual health. So you have to treat that. And then, you know, based on that, if you're having this, you bring it up. I think a lot of people just don't talk about it. They're like, what happened? Now all of a sudden I'm not having orgasms. I'm broken. Something's wrong with me. My libido's in the toilet. Like something's wrong with me. And they may not even connect it with the antidepressant, right? So I think that's really important is like if you've changed medications, like if you're on finasteride, for example, for hair loss, that's another one that sometimes causes these issues. Like talk to whoever prescribed it and be like, hey, I'm feeling this way. Like, can I switch to something else? Can I try something else? Like, what are my options?
It does kind of suck that you have to weigh your options of like, am I going to be bald and be able to have an orgasm, or am I going to have a full head of hair with a penis that doesn't work? I mean, it's
Yeah.
like, it's tough, you know?
It is.
I mean, if you were dating, would you rather have a guy with a full head of hair or?
No, his hair's probably gonna fall out eventually anyways. Who cares? Like, who really cares?
Yeah, you can always put a hat on or something,
Yeah.
you know. Also, yeah.
I personally like I think if you could rock a bald head, that's all good, you know?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. What got you into urology? Did you always like, I mean, it's
I really thought I was gonna be like a medical doctor, like a cardiologist or something. And then I liked surgery, but I really didn't like general surgery. So I hung out with the urologists, I hung out with the ENT doctors, and I was like, I don't like spit, so I'm gonna do urology. But I also really liked talking about intimate things. Even back then, I felt like I didn't feel uncomfortable with it. And urologists are just the coolest. Like if you meet other urologists, you'll find they're really usually pretty laid back. I mean, how serious can you take yourself when you're taking care of penis all day? Like it's not
I guess
it's
this is a weird question, but
yeah.
do you find yourself less sexually attracted to a penis because you've seen so many horrible things with a penis? Or when
No,
you see a
not at
good
all.
penis, it makes it seem that much better?
Neither. I don't it's a good question, but I don't think either of those is true. I think I appreciate a healthy, normal penis.
Maybe more though, if you see a lot of shitty ones, you know what I mean? But you treat women as well, I would assume.
Absolutely. So more than half my practice is women, and I do. You know, I do sexual health, but I also do incontinence and prolapse and other things that are wrong with the pelvic floor. So tons of stuff in urology we do. It's not just sexual health. It's a great field. If anyone's listening and thinking about medicine, I love it.
Yeah, prolapse is a word that always, I don't know why, it does something to my ears where it's just a tough word to hear. I don't know. Some medical terms just don't sit well with me. What with women and their you know, what can they do that's like similar? Is there a pill to take that helps with women, any like a Viagra kind of for women at all out there that are having trouble with orgasms? Or
Yeah,
what
so
can they do
interesting.
that?
Like, So actually, my next couple of videos are on these topics. But interestingly, for women, there are medications that help with low libido, primarily for premenopausal women, so women who haven't gone through menopause yet. And there's either a medication you can take daily, or there's an injection you give yourself an hour before sex. And these can help with women who are struggling with low libido. For Viagra, so Viagra, what it does is it, basically helps increase blood flow to the genitals. And for women, it can work too. It just hasn't been studied really. So there are women who've taken it and felt like they are experiencing more pleasure. So if you think about the anatomy, the penis is just like the clitoris. So when the penis gets enlarged and erect, the clitoris gets enlarged and erect. You just can't see it because most of it's inside the body. And so all you see is the head of the clitoris. And so that will also get enlarged and erect. And so Viagra will work the same way on women as it does on men.
So then the guy can find it for once.
Hopefully.
Hopefully,
One can only hope.
one could pray, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, if a woman suffers from not being able to have an orgasm, so the libido, if it's higher, that will make them more excited for sex, which will then probably maybe lead to hopefully having an orgasm. That's the hope,
It's
I
more
guess.
so that like some women, their libido is just like they don't have it. They don't get excited about anything really. They're just, they've tried all these other things, nothing's helping. They're not interested in sex, and so it helps with that. As far as orgasm, I mean, the large majority of women who are not having orgasms, it's either due to they're not getting enough clitoral stimulation, or they're having like pain issues, right? They're having like too much friction, not enough lubrication. They have something physically wrong with them. They're postmenopausal and they need treatment for their changes that occur just with age. And so those things are probably the more common things, but reliably, if you there's actually a big orgasm gap. So when you look at men and women having first time sex, about 50, 45% of women orgasm. But when you look at women and women having sex, like 95% of women orgasm. So it's not that women can't orgasm, it's that their partners don't know how to stimulate them. And especially some women just don't know how to stimulate themselves. They don't even know what to ask for, right? Because they're not taught to explore, or that's not as big of a thing in culturally for women. So I think that is changing, hopefully. But that is probably the number one reason.
It's interesting. I mean, it sounds like men are the problem. I mean, I would assume then there's probably an involvement with sex toys when it's women on women, which, you know, that's another thing with guys I find is oh, it's weak to bring in sex toys. Then they feel like they're in competition with the sex toy. They're fighting the sex toy. They're like, oh, I feel like it's like teamwork. You know,
Yeah,
let's bring in a whole
absolutely.
marching band. I don't care. You know, as long as
Yeah. You just want
she's
to
happy.
provide pleasure. Like, it's not like the sex toy is going to take over your place, right? It's just assisting you. Like, we use a microwave to warm up food rather than like starting a fire. It's the same thing, right? Like, you're just using
Are
a
you telling me to
tool.
put my girlfriend's ass in the microwave? Is that what you're saying? No, I think I agree. The only thing I guess with women though is if let's say you use a sex toy a ton and then you hook up with a guy and you know he doesn't feel comfortable with it, and then you're not achieving orgasm. I mean that there could be a problem there. I guess you either have to bring it up and bring it in, or like can a woman get desensitized to regular sex if
So everyone can get desensitized, right? Like if a man is masturbating a certain way, he can get desensitized, right? If he's heard the death grip and things like that, right? Like if you're masturbating the same way every time and watching porn every time, or doing a certain type of stimulation that can't be reproduced with a woman, right? Then you're not going to climax either, right? And the same thing with a woman. If she's always masturbating the same way with the same sex toy, with the same thing, like she's going to get used to that sensation, right? So it can happen to anyone. It's not just women. And I think it's important to realize, like, if you're having troubles, like, look at what you're doing, right? Because it may be that. Maybe take a break from the way you're masturbating, or change the way you're stimulating yourself, like whatever gets you in the mood, change that up a little bit and see if that helps.
I mean that's so true. Like with me, when I actually have a bit about it, but like I would masturbate with the death grip and no lotion, and so I was used to like this, you know, a lumberjack essentially making love to me, and so that can't get done by a woman. And then yeah, there would be things, especially when I was on Zoloft, where mentally I couldn't have an orgasm with just, you know, vaginal sex because it didn't feel like that. Like my brain wasn't used to it. So it's interesting to hear that either way can go. Yeah, you get used to what's happening. I mean, I don't know. This has all been great. I think that's pretty much I think we answered everything that I could imagine. I think I'm ready to go. I think the audience is very thank you for your knowledge. I think me just spitting out my jokes, I think it's nice to actually hear it from a medical expert. And I think hopefully people will feel more comfortable out there with their experiences. And I really appreciate your time and being here with me today.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks so much for having me. And feel free if you guys want to learn more, check out my YouTube channel, Rena Malik MD. Would love to, have you on there. Let me know what you want to learn about. Yeah, thanks so much.
Thank you so much. I'll come into the office next week and for an exam.
Right.
Right, I'm going in the microwave. Thank you. Am joined by my recurring guest who doesn't ever want to be called a co-host because she's not a podcaster. She's a real person. Brenna LaRock, thank you for joining me.
You're welcome.
Yeah, this is episode 5 now. Or six, I don't know. Just real quick, I will be live dates. I will be doing a show in Chicago at the IO Theater. That will be April 28th at 10 p.m. Please come out to that show. I will also be in Orlando on May 10th and Tampa May 11th at the Improvs.
I've seen a lot of live, not well, yeah, I've seen a lot of live comedy and watched a lot of specials. I used to watch Netflix specials all the time before. Like I just really enjoyed it. And the top, you were the person who's made me giggle the most at any live show. Like I on like my belly hurt laughing.
Oh.
You're just objectively funny and you're amazing live. You're super comfortable on the stage. You and Tom Segura made me giggle really hard. And those are the only people that really stand out for people I've seen live that I just like amazing. So
And one, you have to say that. Tom Segura. You have to tell. Yeah, no.
Tom Segura is, I mean, it is, he's great, but Andrew. Is you're spectacular live.
Thank
You
you.
bring great energy to the show, and you've got affordable tickets. It's a great date night.
I feel like you just want a Gucci purse.
No, I really want people to like know how you are so amazing live. Like that's
Thank
where you
you.
shine.
I'll take the
So,
compliment. Thank you very much.
yeah.
Also, I think you want to. The other day, Brenna goes, she's watching TikTok. And sometimes either Brenna will watch a lot of TikTok, a lot of Reddit, don't we all? And I'll just hear reactions. They're either laughter, she's crying at times. And I'm like, what are you crying about? And it's just an old man crossing the street. Any old man or old like grandmother, you're bawling.
Yeah.
And you could just turn it off. It's kind of amazing. You should be an actress, honestly. But the other day, she's like, "Ah, gosh, I can't believe this." And it's
No, I
just,
go, I'm mad.
I'm mad. I'm like, "Oh my God, what happened? Did we go to war?
Yeah.
Is there famine? Did someone die?" And she's like, "These young girls go on dates, and after two dates, they get Prada and
No.
Gucci bags." And
No.
what?
I'm not mad at them. I'm mad that like I don't know. I don't know why I'm mad. I think I'm just en envious of like they just literally went on one date and the guy was like, "You want a Gucci bag? Let's go buy you a Gucci bag right now."
Do you think that guy would be good dating material?
No, I don't. Because maybe I'm mad that I never maybe I'm I don't know. I mean, I've had guys give me money before.
Just straight cash?
Once I kissed somebody for a dime bag.
Elaborate, please.
I was
Also, you have food in your teeth.
Oh.
Another one. Yeah, keep going. Next one. Next one over. Yeah.
Is it?
No. Next one over. There we go.
Oh, wow, that
Yeah, it
was
was
a
a big one.
lot.
Yeah.
Whoa, it was a chunk of pepper right
A
there.
lot of pepper.
No, I was like,
How old were you?
I was probably like 15 or 16, and this guy like who was like had a crush on me and I just used him to get weed. And so I was like, if you come give me this back, I didn't even have to. Isn't it wild that when we were younger, we just had no money, but we just made it work?
Yeah.
Like I had probably $20 and I was riding around just getting gas like in $5 increments, which there have been times in my adult life that I've had to do that too. But anyways.
Yesterday.
I digress. I literally was like, well, I don't have any money, but I'll give you a kiss if you give me this dime bag for free. And he came and he delivered it to me, came mm-hmm. And I kissed him in the back in the alley behind my house. And
tongue?
No, just like a quick peck.
You know how they say,
I think I made him believe it was going to be more than that, like more of like a like real kiss. But I was like, mwah, thanks, bye.
Well, did he hand the weed over before the kiss or after?
I think it was after.
Oh, wow.
I mean, yeah.
I thought you would have tricked him with you get the bag and then you give him the shitty kiss. But you actually, he was pretty desperate. It is funny they say weed is a gateway drug. And that was kind of your start to putting out for things. Who knew you'd be giving a hand job for a Gucci bag just 4 years later? Not a full handy, just a half.
Listen, you got to do what you got to do, okay?
Look, you have sex with me, and I'm not buying you nothing.
You're buying me stuff all the time. That's true. What are you talking about? You bought me a pair of matching Hokas.
That is true.
Yeah, buy me stuff all the time.
I do.
It's just not, you buy me essentials.
It's just not sexually driven.
Yeah. I just feel bad for me.
Yeah, I just need a companion.
I'm like your cat.
You were saying the other day that I'm just not as sexual as I need to be. And I'm sorry for that. I need to be, I have a higher libido. Yeah. My libido is.
Yeah.
Libido just sounds like what my sex drive is.
Well, libido.
Libido. It just sounds like a.
It sounds like a worm.
Yeah. Just a worm that never fucks.
Yeah.
Anyhow. But yeah.
I don't know. Like, you know, libido comes up and down with life. It ebbs and it flows.
Yeah.
I used to have a higher libido, and then I went on birth control so that when we had sex, we knew I wouldn't get pregnant. And now it's like, well, the birth control is that I never want to fuck anymore. I want to fuck like 2 times out of a month. And I'm like,
that's the dream. That's one too many.
No. Yeah, I don't know. I think we're both so affected by stress and like mm-hmm. also like diet, just everything like really.
Yeah, you can't eat a veal parm and then want to fuck.
But like we used to fuck before I got on birth control. I feel like we were like doing a lot of sex, and now it's like,
which is so ironic,
a long-term relationship amount of sex. But
it's so ironic that I would bang you more with the risk of having a baby.
Yeah, you would, but you would never be able to, you could never come because you were so scared.
I was afraid. More sex, but I couldn't go in yet.
It's such a double-edged sword. Like, birth control is, like, good, so good and so bad.
Yeah, the first time, yeah, with birth control where you're just like, no, just leave it in. It is like a, for a guy who doesn't want a baby today or yesterday or who knows. I have visions. But when the girl's just like, you know, no, just go with me. And you're just like, I don't trust you. I don't trust it. I don't trust you or that thing. I don't know what that thing is. It just has 2 arms. And I don't know if it.
Oh, the IUD?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, the first time.
It's like a piece of metal that apparently. It's like, oh, it's just. No, it's like a metal thing that just kills your sperm.
It lines your uterus with mucus so that the egg cannot get up to where it needs to go. It's like 99% effective.
99.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I feel like when you're like baby making age, the power of just like how hot it is to have a guy come in you, like, I'm just like, fine, I'll get pregnant. Like, just do it. Cause it's so hot. Like when you're having sex, it's like wild.
Yeah. It's, I guess, like, that's the ultimate. That's the ultimate. We're together is where.
You're coming at me?
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously.
Or is it buying matcha?
Guys matching, are just blowing loads of me.
It's buying matcha hookahs or hakas.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're like, look, you could come at me, but that's going to be three dime bags. You did get some edibles.
No, that's a bag of Coke.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Cocaine. Do not miss that drug. We're both. Yeah, it is funny that you talk about diet and like exercise. We both are joggers now, or I'm a jogger now. Very annoying. I know I do this thing where, and I think a lot of people do it, especially when you have ADHD. Sorry, I don't even like saying it out loud because it feels like, I don't know. Anyhow, but
feels like I'm going to start a fight.
Yeah, it just feels like I'm using it as an excuse, but it is something that like a lot of ADHD people, it happens to them where they start something new and they get obsessed over it. And I think what it is for me is my natural tendency is lazy. I could sit on a couch and watch 9 episodes of Dope Sick and be freaking think it's dope and sick. Like I'd be fucking completely happy.
Hell yeah.
So when I find an exercise or like something that I could be obsessed with or passionate about, that's why because I know on that other side is just laziness.
Yeah.
That if I don't get obsessed over it and like do it all the time, I won't do it. But then the problem with that is you get burnt out quick and then it just repeats itself where, oh, I'll find a different kind of workout to.
Yeah, because that one was wrong for me because I got burnt out. Like I think that's how that works in your head maybe. But an ADHD obsession for you would not be complete without a brand new something to symbolize the start of your new hobby, like golf. You were so obsessed with buying the perfect club.
Yeah,
you were friends with the Golf Galaxy sales guy. You guys,
we were best friends.
First name basis.
Yeah,
and then I went into Golf Galaxy with you once, and he was like, "Oh, Brenna, it's so nice to finally meet you." I was like, "What the fuck? You have a name tag on. Who are you? Like what?"
It was my only friends in St. Louis are guys that I'm spending thousands of dollars to love me.
Yeah. I'm like, and then, that's why they liked you.
Yeah, and I gave them a kiss. Yeah. Or they gave me a kiss.
And then, I'm trying to think of, I mean, this one was like. No, I was obsessed
with F45.
F45, you were obsessed with like measuring your body fat or whatever. I don't know. I forget how, that they have like a machine
BMI.
There. Yeah, BMI. Yeah. Now you have your Hokas, and then Andrew gets me matching Hokas. He goes to the store, picks them out. Love that about you. You're like, I'm doing it. You're doing it, baby. And I, felt like the size wasn't right. So we go back the next day. You're talking to the sales guy. You already have made friends with the sales guy because you were in there the day before. And you're like, yeah, I'm thinking about probably in about 3 months, I'm probably going to upgrade to this shoe. Yeah, I think because I'll be doing more faster runs. And I was like, what? I was like, we'll see about that. 3 months down the line, it's 90 degrees out.
But here's the thing is that I need from you as my partner
to blindly go,
maybe this time will be different.
I feel like I do. And I honestly like participate in your hobbies. This is what I love about you because I know how I've come across with your ADHD has been really negative in the past, which there are some negatives, don't get me wrong. But my favorite thing about you and
you don't know what you're getting that day.
And my favorite thing about your ADHD is that you are, and this is exactly what I need in my life. This is what I've always been bored in life. This is the reason why, is because Andrew is always like, hey, I'm going to try this new thing and we're going to get completely obsessed with it. You want to come along? And I'm like, yeah, why not?
You don't come along. You've gone to the golf range 3 times.
Okay, golfing, you went to
F45 maybe 15 times.
Yeah, that's
and constantly said you hated it. Every dude, you hate everything I do.
No.
You really do, though.
Andrew, you're being such a hater. I mean, in general, like I'm not saying about exercise. I mean, like.
That's all I think about.
No, I mean, like sometimes Andrew, every four months, yeah. Andrew remembers that he wants to find the perfect white tee. And we will go to all the stores finding a perfect white tee. He'll order things online. He'll be like, babe, this is the tee for me.
And I haven't bought any of that shit lately.
In a very long time. But it's like just so, it's honestly so cute to me that you have these like patterns.
And this is what's hard for us is one, I think our age gap, I'm at a point where like I need to exercise, I need to eat well, I need to sleep, I need to drink water just to stay alive. Just because, like, not to, but you know what I mean? Like, just to kind of maintain whatever. You are still in a prime where you don't know if you're 27 or 28. That happened yesterday. But where you can eat, like, dog shit and get fucked up a little bit and bounce back pretty fucking quick. And I'm just saying that, like, I feel like there was a point in your life where you were working out at 6 a.m. every morning. I mean, a lot of times we do these things because we're getting out of some trauma or like something horrible has happened. So we just throw ourselves into exercise because that's like the only thing we can control. And it's the only thing like, oh, I could see progress in myself and I could feel self-worth through, you know, looking skinnier in jeans or whatever. But so my sometimes it's hard because it's like, I need those things. And then sometimes you're just like, nah, like not you're today. Real chill about certain things and then real anal about others. Same with me. But like, I don't know. I think sometimes it's hard because I'm just like, no, I need you to just want to eat healthy and go for runs and not like fight me on it or be like, no, but we'll do pizza Domino's tonight. Like, like,
and then you're like, oh yeah, she's 20, whatever.
Yeah. Whatever it is. We don't know. It's just a number. Yeah, so I don't know. Sometimes I find it where I know that I can be so fucking annoying with like my new hobbies or my or what I'm excited about or whatever I'm jumping into.
You make me better.
Yeah.
You make me better. I think it just like coming here has been like a lot of like trying to get onto a routine and like what kind of routine do I want to have, especially because I'm working nights now. And so like getting up in the morning and getting after it and going to exercise classes is just like not my reality anymore. I used to work during the day. I would get up at whatever you said, 5:30 in the morning to make a 6 a.m. Pilates class or working out after work. And like now I'm just like my lifestyle's completely changed. So I don't know.
I think what happens too with routine, I do this where I'll get paralyzed by picking my routine. I'll be like, oh, you know what? I'll be in shape enough to go boxing once I start running for 3 months. Or I'll be in this when this happens, as opposed to just doing.
Yeah.
And your routine will happen from just doing.
But I have to say, this running thing you're going on is my favorite one yet because I grew up running. I used to run in school, you know, like I've always run. Running has always been my like, it's nothing does for my mental health what running does. And like, it's just always been my escape. And I really fell off the bandwagon with it for a while. And so I'm excited to like get back on it and do it with you because it's motivating, you know, to have somebody to do it with you.
Yeah, it only took me going through 19 different things to get to your thing. I mean,
I really held out.
The thing about running is, one, I'm not good at long distance. I'm pretty fast, just normal. But I've never been, like, someone that wants to run. It doesn't come easy to me, neither does yoga or stretching. So, like, I tend to go towards sports that...
Mm-hmm. Your body's just better at naturally, like, lifting and whatnot.
But running, and it sounds so cheesy... But it the idea of like you can just throw on a pair of shoes and just go out the fucking door. You don't have to wait on anyone. You don't have to go to a class. I mean, the nice thing here about LA is the weather during the winter is we're able to run. Like you run all year round here outside. I hate treadmills. Just like talk about having ADHD and whatever. Like
just staring at that screen, it's the fucking worst. And then I see people like cover it up and I'm like, I've tried to cover it up, but every time I cover it up I just want to peek, and it's just the same thing because then I peek and I'm like, oh, I've only gone 0.2 miles, like what the fuck.
I guess it's just hard when you're in a relationship and you guys might not be like, you got to find, I think especially if you want like a not a healthy relationship, but literally healthy. Like you got to find like a common balance. And it only took us 2.5 years to figure it out. We're still trying to figure it out. But to just kind of understand what your partner needs and wants are. And
what are my needs and wants?
your needs and wants? Yeah. A Gucci bag and a dime bag?
I don't want a Gucci bag.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm just
for the record, I don't want a Gucci bag.
No, you're not a Gucci head.
I'm not a Gucci girl.
More Prada.
No.
You do walk by stores and go, look at that bag.
Yeah. I love a bag, but I never buy purses for myself.
I don't
understand
women's obsession with a bag.
The same thing as shoes. The way that it can elevate an outfit so effortlessly, like you just have one of these statement bags and it like you can trade it within all of these outfits and it like changes the way that a pair of denim and a t-shirt looks. Like you just look, it elevates your outfits and it's amazing.
I don't know. And I know this is like a common trope of like, do guys really even notice when, I'm sure it all adds up. I'm telling you,
I don't think guys see the individual pieces. Like a guy's not like, wow, look at that girl's bag. But if I'm wearing like an old grubby bag, some ripped jeans and like Skechers sneakers, it's like, okay, she's like just, you know,
a regular everyday girl.
But if I've got like a little heel on and like a crisp leather bag that's like very clean and then like my white t-shirt is well fitted, you're like, wow, that girl's like looks really put together, but not in like a like she's wearing a sequin dress way, you know. Mm-hmm. Guys see the whole picture. It's like the same thing with guys with nails. Guys don't see, oh, wow, that girl got a manicure in her red nails. Guys notice when your nails are disgusting and they're like, wow, she should like, and they don't think like, wow, she should fucking fix that. But like they just notice when it's not good, I think.
I'm with you on all of that. Mm-hmm. And I think, and if you're doing it for yourself, not for a guy's gaze or women like thinking you're better or worse than them, because I think a lot of judgment does come from other women. Mm-hmm. Of what your bag is or any of that stuff. You could have a JCPenney bag. You could be wearing corduroys with holes and your feet could fall off and I'd still want to fuck you.
Me?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm just, point being is like, I get it. There is a point to like looking presentable and looking clean cut and looking looking your best. But if you're paying for a $3,000 bag to get that, it just doesn't function with me. Just like the idea of like, look, I've had a Mercedes before. I drove a $70,000 car. Also, by the way, the car for when you buy it, it looks cool for, it feels cool. You feel sexy in it for maybe, honestly, 3 weeks. And then it's just a car. And it's a filthy car. And it's just whatever. You're just driving. You don't even realize I'm driving a Mercedes anymore. My point being, with the bag, you start putting shit in the bag. Your receipts are in the bag. You have old fucking lip gloss in the bag. You eventually just grab the bag. It just becomes a bag. But now it's a $3,000 bag. So it's like the functionality of it and like, maybe there's a bag that looks clean, but is, you know what I mean? Like, why are we spending, why do women care so much? Other than, I guess you explained it, you know, you feel like it puts the outfit together.
I think for me, I think I get where you're coming from with like the Mercedes being, I understand all of that. I agree with the car thing. Like the car thing is about, when I see luxury cars, I'm like, wow, that's really nice. But I would want a luxury car if I have another car to drive, because I think of the practicality of like having something so nice that you just feel like I would feel like I need to maintain that, right? And it's the same thing, like to me, a nice bag. And I'm not talking about like, I want like a cute Coach bag. Like Coach bags are like $300. I'm not saying, okay, like, gotcha. Oh, I want to go out and get, I wish I had just a collection of Chanel's. Obviously, that's like every girl's dream. But like, I'm not saying that that's my standard. I'm saying to have a, you're buying quality. It's like buying a Honda. You know that Honda is like, Hondas are a little bit more expensive than other sedans. But like, how much further is that Honda going to take you? It's, you know what I mean? It's the same thing with a nice, like quality leather purse. Like that is going to take you across several outfits. It's fashionable, which is like, why are we all lying and pretending like we want to present ourselves well? Like, mm-hmm. I love a clean, like put together aesthetic. And like, yeah, there's a part of that too. But I also want, I like, it's just, and also with shoes, like I like to buy more expensive shoes because I wear my shoes a lot and I don't buy them often. So I want a nice shoe that, I don't know.
I'm not gonna I didn't go realize, to, yeah, you can get a good bag for $300.
I'm not going to go to Walmart and get a pair of flip-flops that are going to fall apart before the end of the summer. Like, I'm not doing that.
Not your summer flops.
No.
I feel like, yeah, I mean, look, guys spend money. Like, look at my golf clubs. I mean, that's it's the same thing. I guess, though, the only thing with that is I feel like they're a little bit more functional. Like, you need, you know, than a bag.
Are they?
I think so. I think if you had to go golf clubs versus a coach bag, what's more important or what's more like needed for them to be good? I don't know. I mean, this is. we had a big fight recently.
We did?
Yeah, in the car.
Where did I put my phone?
What was our fight about?
Just driving, me looking down at my GPS. I mean, here's the thing.
No, Andrew gets on a freeway, a five-lane freeway.
I think seven.
In Los Angeles. It's dark and it's raining.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, hey, he's got the directions pulled up on his phone in his lap. And I go, I would feel more comfortable if you didn't look at your phone. Simple as that. But every time I pull up the GPS, you're like, I got it. Because you don't like when I give you directions. And so I'm like, listen, okay, fine. And then I catch you again doing it. And I just say, would you put your phone down, please? Like, I can plug the phone into your CarPlay.
Yeah.
And you can see it right up there. And I just like, I think it's like this is an ADHD thing for you. Like, I think that you need to have that, like, or for some reason. And it's just, you don't like being, you like to see it visually, which I get, but like, why can't we put it on the screen? Like, or.
I agree with that. Sometimes I try to put it on the screen and the phone will go out with connection with the USB cord sometimes. So okay. I tend to just put it on my hand. I think the problem lies with me is when you drive, you can have a tendency to be looking at your phone, choosing Spotify. You do it.
I do it at stop signs. I don't do it on a freeway in the dark when it's raining.
Babe.
When
you
drive,
you are a little Dale Earnhardt. yes. You no, fucking go through lanes. I've tried to drive with you like carpooling before, like behind you. You switch lanes like a fucking insane person.
Mm-mm.
And babe, this is the problem. This is the problem. So
subjective.
When you're driving and I say anything to you, you react like I killed your first cat.
Don't you dare.
I won't kill the cat. But that's where I think I have issues. My thing is what happens with me is if someone does something that, if someone calls me out on something that I know that they've done themselves, I don't know what it is, but when someone's being like a hypocrite to me, I lose my mind.
Yeah, I totally see where you're coming from. To me, though, in that scenario, I've already asked you once calmly, and then the second time, instead of like stopping and thinking like, oh, she's really scared. I'm a scared passenger in general, but like thinking of the scenario and thinking maybe that I'm just scared. It's, to me, it's not a time to be like, well, remember that time that you did this?
I'm doing whataboutism.
I think it's more of a time to be like, yeah, I love this person and I don't want to scare them. And I also want to keep them safe. I'm going to do everything in my power to do that. Like, that's how I do things.
Yes. And then I think.
But I'm, when I'm. You,
yes.
So, yeah.
So when I, but what I think is I go, well, this person doesn't like being told what to do when they drive or when they do anything, mm-hmm. how they cut spinach, anything, that if they should know that they don't like hearing it, so they probably shouldn't say anything.
I would rather say something than die.
I haven't been in a wreck, knock on fucking wood, since I was 16 years
old. This is what Andrew says. Every time he says, babe, I'm 42, I've never been in a wreck. And I go, exactly. The odds are that you're going to wreck soon.
That
you're due for your wreck.
No, I'm not due for a wreck. That's not how the world works.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
Also, the latest wreck has come from you when you crashed my car into a curb twice and fucking knocked the tire out and cost me $300. Okay?
Okay.
And not once did I bring it up. I gently brought up, I can't believe how much that tire costs.
Yeah.
It cost a coach bag plus $17.
I know. I could have gotten one of those. I won't. How about this? I won't hit the tire for the next year so that I can get my bag.
Okay. That's a deal. That's a good deal.
Whoa. I should have said 6 months.
You should have.
Six months. Deal.
Look, I just feel that.
Oh, shit. She's getting a coach bag in 6 months.
I'm getting new golf clubs then. I feel like we should do our little Oprah thing.
Okay, yeah, let's do it.
I think people liked it. It got pretty intense last time. Maybe we keep it a little lighter.
Yeah, let's keep it light. Let's keep it fresh. Let's keep it airy.
Just like Oprah would have wanted.
Andrew's birthday is coming up in about a month.
Yeah.
I was just thinking that because I said airy and you're an Aries.
Gotcha.
I have an idea of what I'm going to get you for your birthday.
What's that?
You just have to keep running.
There's new Hokas?
No, I'm not getting you new Hokas. Honestly, that's a good idea, though.
What were you thinking?
I'm not telling you.
Okay.
Andrew, every time I've gotten him a present, he's like, just give it to me early. He loves a present.
Oh, I love an early present.
You love a present.
I don't need to wait. Yeah. I don't like suspense.
Yeah, but then I feel bad because I don't have anything for you on your... When I brought Andrew's birthday present last year, which were the AirPod, the new generation, whatever ones, I came home. He knew I bought him something because he's like, what'd you get? And I was like, oh, I had nothing. Just like went to the mall, you know? And he's like, what'd you get?
I bought you shit energy. And
I was like, I got you your birthday present. It's like a week before.
I get a Venmo request from you.
Yeah. He made me let him open it. And then I'm like, well, I feel like a dick because the day of your birthday, what am I going to get you? We had dinner reservations, but you got COVID.
Yeah.
All right. It doesn't matter. Anyways, let's do these Oprah questions.
Okay. We've done 4 out of 110.
Oh, God.
I don't know if people hate this or not. Write back. Tell us, you know, if you like it or not. I don't know. I got a lot of messages that people enjoyed it.
Yeah. Follow along and do it with your partner if you want, or friends, yeah, or family.
What's something surprising that you were afraid of as a child?
Oh, I was really scared of the hiccups. I was scared every time I got the hiccups that
you were going to die, that your heart was stopping. Because someone told you that, or you sneeze and your heart stops.
No, like every time I got the hiccups, I would get like an anxiety attack. And I would, I lived like a block away from a hospital growing up. And so I'd always hear like ambulance, and I would be like, they're coming to help me. Like, I don't know, dude. It was a weird...
So wait, time out. You got the hiccups.
It would make the hiccups worse.
The ambulance or the anxiety?
The anxiety, and like, I would cry, and like, I hated. And I was also really scared that I was gonna get attacked by Native Americans. Like, my brothers and I... Listen.
I get it now, because the hiccups were loud and you were afraid that you were going to get scalped.
Yeah, I guess like, okay, I'm going to make this really short, but I'm going to tell you where the root cause of this came from. My brothers and I, every summer we had a huge hole underneath our deck that we dug out, and we would just like, we made it like a tunnel system, and we would put chairs down there and bring our friends, and we had like a hangout place, and we would always dig up these like old bricks, which I'm sure were just from like building the house, but they had like language on it and I didn't understand. And I just remember telling my brothers, like, every time I'd find a brick, I'd be like, the Indians have been here. These belong to the Indians. And I grew up in the north, and we would always notice the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper, and my brother would point them out, and I'm like, the Indians were here. And like, John, look at the Indians. And I used to have terrifying dreams of Indians were chasing my family and I. We were like a prairie family. We were in a carriage and these Native Americans were chasing us through the desert. And then the desert would always crack open. And they were chasing us. And then the desert ground would always crack open and I'd be falling down. And I don't know. I was terrified of Native Americans.
Wasn't it because your house was haunted?
Well, our house growing up, I believe, was haunted, but I just grew up in like a Native American area.
Where it was only like tribal, like there was like old burial grounds.
Yeah, just stuff like that. And I was fucking terrified. I thought that they were going to come for us.
Was this like a town fear or was this just like you?
Just me.
What do you think? But like you're talking about these bricks thing. I mean, it had to start from someone had to have said something negative about Indians in your life where you get this fear.
I think I just saw, maybe I saw like a movie. I don't know where the fear came from, but it would haunt me in my dreams. I'd hated going outside alone at night.
Especially with hiccups.
Yeah, it was, yeah. I was, whew.
Man.
Yeah, what about you?
Same thing.
I don't know
what the brick had to do. Why you connected a brick?
It just like added to my fear. Like I just didn't understand the language brick. On it. And I would always find them and I'd be like, these belong to the Indians. I was scared we were going to dig up old like burials. And
yeah.
Ugh.
Man, that is, that's when you grew up in a very small town. Like you grew up with like a town of 200 people.
No, it was 10,000.
When during season. Right?
No.
How many people were 10,000 total?
10,000, yeah.
Yeah. That's not a lot. That's a very small town.
I think it's cute size.
Now, when did you get over these fears or how did you get over them? Just
I think
time?
I just grew up.
I don't remember hearing you ever have hiccups or complain about Native Americans, so I guess you're over.
I'm pretty sure I am. I have Native American in me, which is
hilarious. Oh, yeah, so that's
hilarious.
Good. Thank God, yeah, because yeah. Now yeah, we can't
now
get
we're
canceled.
Good. We're in the coast.
People might cut that out, though, and be like, this girl is afraid of Native Americans when she was six.
Dude, if I ever got famous or was trying to like run for anything, I would get so fucking roasted from the things that we've posted online.
Well, first of all, your ethnicity, you're Puerto Rican, you're a little bit of Native American, a little bit of African American, a lot of Irish.
I think that's a reach. Irish, English. Yeah, I'm a mix.
I'm just saying, you can't get canned. I mean, you got everything.
Yeah,
in
you. I'm invisible.
She is Puerto Rican. I know Puerto Ricans love other Puerto Ricans. So please.
Yeah, come out.
Please,
share
please
this to
come
your
out.
Fellow Puerto Ricans.
Yeah, please. The whole state.
Hey, Ricans.
What was I afraid of? I was afraid of, you know what I would get afraid of sometimes? The lamp. Like a lamppost at night because it would look like a person. And I just remember, oh, shit. Yeah, I would be afraid of lampposts because at night it would look like there was a person standing in the corner. They're always in the corner.
Did the shadows like come into your home?
What? No, not like an outside lamp, like an inside lamp, like a
like a floor lamp.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Not like an outside lamppost. An indoor
lamp. A lamppost is an outside
lamp. Okay, an indoor lamppost.
A lamp, a floor lamp.
A floor lamp.
Yeah. Wait, that's so funny.
Yeah, it's so funny to be thinking, like looking out the window and be like, they're looking at me.
I was like, how would he be scared? Because it's lit up.
Yeah, that's
okay.
True.
Got it. So floor lamps.
A floor lamp when it was off.
Yeah.
Looked like a human, mm-hmm. like a tall human. Mm-hmm. And instead of what I would do, I would see it in the middle of the night. I would look at it. It'd be looking at me. And instead of like going over there and going, fuck you, bitch, or like, you're not a human, I would just keep thinking it's a human.
Spiral,
and then go to bed and look the other way. And then the lamppost on the other. No, like, it was just.
How many floor lamps did you guys have?
I don't know. I just remember at night just seeing, like, random things.
Shadows.
Mm-hmm. And thinking they're definitely human beings. And the funniest part about it is not, like, checking it out, like just keep living that lie to yourself.
Yeah,
as a child.
But you know, Actually, well, my brother was scared of shadows too. Like, when at nighttime, and he would be paralyzed with fear and would cry and whatnot. And I was like reading about this, and they're like called nightwalkers, I think. And kids don't listen. Kids are very susceptible to seeing like the other side, and like they come for kids.
Keep going. So you think there are ghosts?
I think that your fear is really real, and I think that maybe it was the floor lamps, but also like those types of things prey on children, and like kids can see that shit. No, I'm not kidding.
I'm not disagreeing with you. So you think that ghosts are real? You grew yes, up, you had 100%. Ghosts in your yeah. in your house, yeah. right? You yeah. would hear noises.
We'll talk about that another time. Let's go on to the next.
Wow, really leaving people wanting more. So what was your favorite Native American growing up? No, what was your
Pocahontas?
What was your favorite food growing up?
My favorite food. Well, my mom used to make jambalaya. I love jambalaya.
Not expecting that. I thought you were gonna say fucking.
Oh my god! Oh my gosh! Or in the summer, my dad used to. It's so good. He used to make cheesy brats on the grill, and he would saute and like put in like cooking like on the grill as well, peppers with onions. So they were like soft and marinated over cheesy bratwurst, and then like a side of he would make he calls it like pasta salad, and it's like really vinegary pasta salad. You can get it at like delis now, but his was just. It's the best pasta salad I've ever had in my life. And, oh, and then sometimes he would make fettuccine Alfredo homemade and put, like, crushed up bits of bacon on it. My dad used to make the best stuff. So I just love a good summer cookout.
Nice.
Yeah.
A nice brat. That's a very Midwest
yeah.
thing.
Yeah. What about you?
I'd say my favorite food growing up, there were two things. I liked very simple things. Bologna sandwich with American cheese on white bread with mustard and mayonnaise. I remember, and with some chips, some barbecue chips on the side. Mm-hmm. Dude, I love a simple plate. You know me.
You do. Wait, and would I remember, put the chips in the sandwich ever?
You know, sometimes then the chips become the sandwich.
Yeah.
I do like a crunch. I think that is fun to do, or throw fries in a burger, like in McDonald's. I don't mind people bringing in the chips and putting in the sandwich, but then it really takes away from the texture of what, you know, I just love that the cold soft. Mayonnaise.
I guess I my know. Mom used to make me bologna sandwiches, and they always came with like the pepper, like the
oh, that's the chunks, worst.
And I was repulsed Dude. By it. I think this is where my meat aversion started.
Dude.
And I would pick it apart, and I never would eat my lunch.
Ugh. Who the fuck would buy the bologna with the peppercorn.
It's so gross.
Dude, it just made me so angry. People yeah. buy salami with the peppercorn or with the white chunks in it, and it fucking drives me insane.
Mm-hmm. Wait, I love
That's salami. That's a very Michigan thing, by the way, I think.
Really?
I remember my buddy's dad being from Michigan, and he would always buy the meat with the fucking peppercorns in it.
It's so gross to me.
Dude, you want to know something gross?
What?
I was so addicted to bologna.
That is what is gross. That's so disgusting.
I know. I'll tell you what happened. Before jogging, before F45, before golf, before comedy, there was bologna. And I fucking was addicted. I love bologna so much. Bologna. Bologna. That my mom would go to a grocery store, and I would sit in the cart. I was 17 years old. No, I would sit with my little legs dangling, and my mom would buy Oscar Mayer bologna where you fucking take off the red around the top, mm-hmm. which is, you know, this is coming off very white trashy, and I'm proud of it. And I would eat, I'm not kidding you, I would eat the whole thing of bologna, and my mom would have to go back and get another one for home. I had my own grocery.
Yeah. So cute. I just love thinking about you being like so excited to go to the grocery store with your mom because that means you get to eat a whole pack of bologna.
Literally the whole pack. And my mom would just be like, because it was so much salt, I guess. I loved it, dude. And yeah. I would just, And I just remember it was like one of my favorite things to do.
Were you ever addicted to food that your mom would have to like tell you like, no, stop eating that right now? Or like,
no, my mom really gave us unhealthy stuff growing up.
Mm-hmm. My parents fed us really well. My brother was like addicted to milk and would drink like a gallon a day. Jesus. And my parents had to like control his milk.
Did he get lactose intolerant later in life?
No, I think he still loves milk like that.
Dude, people that love just straight milk.
Yeah.
Kind of weirds me out a little bit. It's gross. Like your brother, but a little less now.
Patrick.
Oh, never mind. I never met him. But yeah. I like you, Patrick. Even actually, the milk thing, I like it. Yeah, we love you.
Yeah.
Yeah, we love you.
But stop
really,
drinking,
really
stop
stumbled drinking back cow's on that. Milk. I'm like, fuck Patrick and his milk. I love you, Patrick.
We love you. Yeah, I miss you.
You little dairy guy. All right. The other food was hot dogs and baked beans.
Oh. Summer cookout.
Dude.
Yeah. We got to get a grill someday.
I love like rich people. If you ask them like what their favorite food. Oh, I love Carbone growing up.
Or I don't even know what that is.
I know. It's just a restaurant in New York City or like whatever, you know, Chili's.
Yeah.
Love the chill. Anyways, I'm sure we'll get into that. What's your favorite meal now?
My favorite meal now?
After dealing with my trauma. No.
Can we skip this question? I think it's kind of boring and we just talked a lot about food.
No. Just say it real quick.
I don't have a favorite meal.
Okay. Well, then that's it. Mine's chicken parm. But I don't do it often. What's your first album you ever owned?
If I'm being honest... These questions are hard because they're like the first album you ever owned, but like you were a teeny kid, but like the first album you ever owned, like you went and you were like, this is the album.
So what are both?
I probably owned a Britney Spears album when I was younger. But then like when I started really getting into music and driving around in my own car, I listened to a lot of John Mayer. I definitely bought John Mayer Red Hot Chili Pepper CDs. I had these on rotation. That's why I'm saying all three. And the Fergie Fergalicious album. I love that album so much. I could still turn it on to this day and just be like, in the gym. That album gets me going. I love that album. Fergalicious.
I do kind of miss going to Sam Goody or whatever and getting a CD, looking through the CDs. Just the feeling of the plastic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm old enough where my first album was a tape.
Yeah, what was your first?
It was either Beastie Boys, Fight for Your Right to Party. I don't know if that was the name of the album, but that was like the big song from it. You gotta fight for your right to party. Oh, man. Like they finally, being a Jewish kid in the middle of like Florida where there were no other Jewish kids. And I really started to love rap. I remember first hearing Two Live Crew for the first time, which is a band that a 12-year-old, like they literally have the line I remember is, nibble on your dick like a rat does cheese.
Whoa. Or like Andrew does bologna.
Yeah. As a 12-year-old. But that's how I'm listening to that. As a 12-year-old, I'm listening to that. And then Beastie Boys, I bought this and it was three Jewish guys that were rapping and everyone thought they were so fucking cool. And they'd look like me, kind of. Mm-hmm. And I just remember just like really connecting to them and being like kind of, you know, counterculture against the grain. Like it's okay to be
Jewish.
A Jewish kid, a little Jewish boy.
That's sweet.
Yeah. So I remember popping that into I had a Walkman, this yellow one that would click. And I missed that click sound.
I think your entire existence is just so cute. You could tell me any story. And I'm like, that's so cute.
Yeah. And then we killed a guy. No, it was a sports Walkman, I think it was called.
So cute.
And it was sports because it was clunkier and could handle the roughness of a 12-year-old eating bologna.
12-year-old boy.
We'll do two more and then we'll get out of here. How does your life compare to how you imagined it growing up? Oh, that's tough. Am I your knight in shining armor?
It's definitely
far. The look on your face made it seem like it's such a disappointment. What did you think you were going to be? Or go ahead. Sorry.
Well, Like, I guess I didn't really, like, I'm not even joking. When I was younger, I never really envisioned too far into the future. Like, I never envisioned a wedding. I never envisioned how many kids I was going to have, mm-hmm. where I wanted to live. Like, I just didn't really think it. I don't know. I guess I did, but I didn't have, like, this picture-perfect idea of what I wanted to do. I just remember I always wanted to be free and, like, on my own. And, like I was never like excited to go to college. Like I wanted to like work and like just like be an adult. And like I was, oh, I know now. I pictured myself when I was younger. I pictured myself in an apartment in a city above like a shop. Like I just like wanted that like city life, like living in an apartment, doing it on my own. And like I kind of did do that. Like I had my own apartments. I like did that. So I think I kind of, my life is actually pretty on par with where I thought it was going to be. I just didn't think it was going to be this hard, which yeah. you never do when you're a kid. I didn't know it was going to be as hard as it was to get there, but like, it's fine. You know, like I do remember there was an apartment I had in St. Louis. It wasn't my first one alone, but it was the second one I had where one of my best friend, she lived in the same building and I could get to her apartment by like walking downstairs and like we had like a little tunnel because she lived in the other wing and I didn't even have to go outside to go to her apartment. I just had to like maneuver through this building in the underground and like I just remember thinking like, oh, this is what I always wanted. And I was just so independent and like I had a lot of friends and like I was going out and social and like making enough money to like pay my own rent and like be social and like kind of wear the clothes I wanted to. And I think I like really enjoyed that period of my life. And like,
there was no yeah. like profession that you thought of as a kid.
Oh, well, when I was a kid, I guess I wanted, when I was really little, I was like, I'm going to be in the Navy because my parents were in the Navy. You always think you're going to do what your parents do. But I'm also going to be a singer and an actress. Like I was like, I wanted to do all of those things. And then I was like, maybe I'll work for a magazine because I saw some some movie.
And I saw pretty Sex in the City or something.
Yeah, it's pretty on par with like me now. I'm just like, maybe I could do this. Maybe I could do that. Who knows? I never wanted to be like a doctor or anything too serious. I remember mm-hmm. that. So I don't yeah. know. I'm pretty like, I kind of have always been the same.
Your expectations same bitch. As a kid, like you're like, I'm gonna live in a mansion on a mm-hmm. on a next to a mountain, next to a lake, and you're like, yeah. nah, I just want like an apartment above like a store.
Like I love that vibe.
No, I love the so idea cute. That your expectations weren't like insane, so you're not like you don't feel bad when you know when or you met them. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah. Like, low expectations exceed high.
Yeah, reward. It is kind of funny to What's be like, saying? To think, you know, when I was a kid, I guess, you know, it's interesting when you're like, it's harder now. It'd be funny if you were a kid and you were so knowledgeable that you're like, mm-hmm. one day I'm going to be paying bills each week and I'm going to have a gas bill. I'm going to have a water bill. I'm going to have a car bill. I'm going to have a health insurance bill. I'm going to have a rent bill. So I'm going to have a cell phone bill. I don't even know what cell phones are yet, but I just have a feeling. Mm-hmm. Like, it's fucking crazy being an adult and having to live, like, kind of check to check, kind of, like, and focus and think about these fucking bills instead of just being, like, just living, you know? You're just, oh, I'm just going to live. As a kid, I didn't really ever have, like, visions of, like, what kind of house I'd live in or, Same. Like, what kind of... family I would have. I guess I thought I would marry the first person I ever dated, you know, kind of shit like that, you know, like, or I think I wrote in my senior yearbook that I was going to be a football coach by the time I was 40. I guess I thought I would, and then I think I thought I was going to be a sports attorney or a sports agent. I wanted to be, because I love sports. And I'm Jewish. No, but I love sports and I wanted to do something in sports. And I thought that's, and then I found out you had to go to law school. And I was like, I don't know if I mm-hmm. want to do that anymore. And then I wanted to swim with whales for a while.
That's so cute.
I went to SeaWorld and I was like, I want to be swim with killer whales and be their agent and get them jobs and have them play for the Dolphins. Put a real dolphin in the dolphin game. No, I just remember like those were kind of ideas I had. I like comedy. I never thought about being a stand-up comedian or anything like that. But I also thought, I really did, I probably thought when I was a kid I'd have like a family and like a more normal life than I've had as an adult. And I think I'm getting to that normal life more and more later.
Why are you pointing at me like that?
You know?
No.
Yeah. But yeah. Oh, shit. Never mind. What was your dream job as a kid? Mm. We already went through that. Last question. Were you popular in high school?
No. I wasn't popular until, and I won't even say that I was popular, but I was actually kind of like made fun of until maybe like I was, ninth grade, I was just like pretty normal. 10th. I don't know. I feel like the popular kids in my school were like kids who did a lot of sports, mm-hmm. and like they kind of had like a close-knit group. And then by the time I was a senior and I came back from overseas, I don't know, like we were all kind of.
Were you going to that? You went, you studied abroad.
I studied abroad, yeah.
For how long?
My whole junior year of high school. And
I mean, that's huge to just go to Europe as a junior in high school.
Yeah, I actually found like my pictures the other day randomly on my computer from that time. And I was just looking at myself and I was like, I had no idea what I was doing. Like I was a baby. Like I just looked like it just brought me back to that moment. And I was like, wow, I had no idea what was going on.
Imagine looking like that and making that decision then.
Yeah. And then I think when I came back my senior year, I don't like to say that I'm like, I was popular. I think I just like partied a lot. And like, I don't know. I think people were just kind of like, oh, like what's she up to? You know, because it was like interesting that I was gone and then I was back and I was like a little bit different than everyone else by then. But then I think I was never popular though. And then I just hung out with my friend Trenton and like Elena a lot. And like, we would just like smoke weed and like hang, like we were just a really close knit group. And like, that's what I did on the weekend. So I was like popular, like I had like a really good close knit friend group, but yeah, I wasn't like,
I feel like in high school,
prom queen or anything like that.
In high school, you have to, if you're not playing sports, everyone needs an identity, and it's hard to find one unless someone kind of just gives you one. Yeah. You just join a team, and that's your identity. It's pretty mm-hmm. simple. I mean, practice is hard and all that shit, but
I think I was popular for being rebellious. That's what it was.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Which is hard to keep up. It's like being in a cool band, yeah. and you have to be fucking cool all the time. So you're like that cool girl that came back from Europe. Yeah. You were in Czech Republic
uh-huh.
for a year. Mm-hmm. You definitely have like an edge to you mm-hmm. because you left your small town.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the idea to go from where you grew up to Czech Republic is kind of crazy.
And I thought I was way more edgy than I really was.
For
like,
sure.
Now I'm like, oh my God.
But compared to then, yeah. you were edgy. Yeah. So then you come back and you're like, whoa. And you probably developed a little bit. You got a little like whatever.
What?
Your tits were
thinking about me having titties?
You've told me that your tits were bigger as a kid.
Yeah. I used to have giant boobs, and yeah. now I don't.
I wonder what happened to
I
that.
I don't know.
Same with my penis. It used to be huge. Yeah, sorry.
That's why when you were so scared to show it in the locker room.
I would be afraid, yeah. That was...
too cock's too big.
Yeah, my cock was so big. That's why I was so popular in high school. I was popular... I'm one prom king. I went to a small school, but I was a virgin, right? Mm-hmm. So that kind of really shows who I was friends with everyone, but no one wanted to fuck me. Or I take that back. I just don't think I had confidence in myself.
Yeah.
I was short. Mm-hmm. I was Jewish in an all-Christian private school. And I grew up, I went to school an hour away from my house. So I never felt, even though I was friends with everyone, I never felt the kids that were, you live close to school, you go over their house to smoke pot after or whatever, like their parents are friends with their parents. So you just grow up like very connected. And I was kind of always an outsider, which I guess kind of made me a little cooler in a way. But I think because of that, I never was like the coolest kid.
Yeah, I'm sure but, like being... I don't know. I'm sure it must have been really hard, like being the outsider, like being a Jewish kid, and like you're just always, you always felt singled out in that way. And
generalized a lot, or sterilized.
Sterilized. Well, you were also sterilized.
What?
Circumcision. It's not sterilized. No, but because I felt that just being Puerto Rican in my small town. Like, yeah. It's like you lose that, like, I don't know, like there's no part of your small community being your community, being your school, is like really embracing you and like who you are, and like, because there's power, yeah, in numbers. And so like I can understand, like, that must have been really difficult and like can fuck with your confidence.
Yeah, for sure. But I also think like if I won prom king, I obviously was accepted by a lot of people, and you tend to look, you think about the negative stories and stuff like that, but the same negative stories are from the same positive stories from literally the same people,
yeah,
that are some of my best memories. And I was very funny, like growing, like I was the class clown kind of. I was thrown out of class a lot. I remember this teacher, Mr. O, he grabbed me by my neck because I couldn't stop talking in class, ADHD, and he dragged me all the way, like literally like a quarter mile to the principal's office. Another teacher, Mr. Sheffer, I called him a skunk because he had white hair down the middle, and he threw me against the wall.
Oh my God.
Mr. Mugford drew a circle on the whiteboard or whatever, chalkboard, and had me put my Jewish nose in it in front of the class. Because I was talking so much. I know.
That's really bad.
I know.
Did you ever tell your parents about that?
No.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I know.
Do you think that they would have been like thrown a fit about it at the school?
They would have probably been like, no, because they weren't that involved in the school.
And he said that in front of the class.
It was kind of crazy. He was kind of trying to do it. I think that's looking so back, sad. We're all laughing, and obviously I would laugh to like make myself like, you, I mean, it is thing. Kind of funny. I mean the idea to fucking draw a circle and be like, put the Jewish kids in a, I don't know, it was wild.
Oh, that, yeah, makes me really sad.
Yeah, but I was popular. I really was, though. Like, I was like,
yeah,
I say all that, and like people love me, like especially girls love me, even though I didn't hook up much. I always had like 7 girlfriends, you know, like that would try to get, you know, Ritalin from me or Adderall.
Honestly, like, I'm still trying to get Ritalin from you. That's why you need to go to the doctor.
Yeah. You got to work on your mental health.
Yeah.
But yeah, so.
Our mental health.
Yeah, I just remember. No, like, I think because I went to a small school, though, I was able to play sports. And I played football, lacrosse, and basketball. And that was my whole identity, was sports. But then I remember at one point I was friends with all the athletes, and then I started hanging out with like the fish guys, the guys that wore like hemp necklaces.
Nice.
And I smoked a little weed.
Florida boy.
And they didn't make fun of me as much. Aww. So like I started hanging out with them more, and then my other buddies were like, what the fuck, dude, Colin, you're hanging out with them.
This makes my heart heavy. Like,
why?
Just like being a kid and like being made fun of and having to be like this laughing, like the bun, I don't know, like,
yeah,
the butt end of the joke.
Trust me, though, I made fun of a lot of people too. Yeah, I wasn't like all fucking just victim. Like, you, I was very good at
internalize
that.
Like, you laugh, but you internalize it.
And, oh,
like,
for
it's
sure.
It's like the story you tell yourself when you're like feeling bad. And
but it's fine. Then you hang out with the burnout kids, and then you get worse at sports because you stop caring.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, maybe I like my sports friends because they're more motivating. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. High school was good. And I think we know more about each other now.
Yeah. I think so.
I mean, you know, you're afraid of hiccups, Native American. Anyhow, that's the podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Rate, review, like, and share. Literally, tell everybody. We want to grow this big enough so we could buy Brenna an apartment above a store.
And a Chanel bag.
Coach. 2 of them. Anything else you want to say?
No, that's it. Thanks for listening.
Come see me in Chicago and Florida. All right. Thanks, guys. Bye.